We're back with the Spratley case, and did council all have a chance to sign in? Everybody could. Okay, great. And it's Mr. Kim and Ms. Adelphio. Mr. Kim, would you like to reserve some time for rebuttal, sir?
I would like to reserve 3 minutes.
3 minutes, certainly. Okay. Come on up.
Good morning, Your Honors. This case is of, my name is Wayne Kim and I represent Andrew Spratley. And this case is primarily dealing with one of statutory interpretation. This was a bench trial before the Circuit Court of Loudoun County, and I think most of the facts are undisputed in this case. Mr. Spratley is accused of destroying a scale at Wegmans. And the question really is, did the Commonwealth of Virginia prove the value above the felony threshold? And our contention is it did not. What the court, we believe in this case, did is use evidence that was presented that Wegmans replaced the scale and spent over $4,000 in replacing the scale. And what we believe is one of the things that the court erred by is the court looked at what Wegmans did, and it used what Wegmans did to replace what the Commonwealth's obligation is.
Doesn't the statute also refer to fair market replacement value?
Yes, it does. And I think while we were through the case, first of all, this is a case of first impression. There is no case law on fair market replacement value. There is much case law on fair market value. And our contention is the statute, reading the statute, the statute provides two remedies. They provide the remedy for the fair market replacement value, but they also have a remedy for the cost of repair. And that's because the statute itself, and if I could read.
The statute's in the disjunctive, and I think by it being in the disjunctive, it would suggest that the court could use either one of those assessments in making the determination that it needs to make, depending on what kind of case they're talking about.
Correct, and we believe that the word replacement there is used to notify, signal to the reader which of the disjunctive methods is being used. Because, of course, as the court correctly stated, that it's either the value of the damage and the loss of the property or the cost it takes to fix the property.
And the court made the specific factual finding in this case that the scale was the same in every respect except for the manufacturer's nameplate on it, didn't it?
I don't think the court said that I don't think the court actually made that ruling that it was exactly the same. I think the court made the ruling that
I'm looking at a quote.
Okay.
Trial court, the replacement scale, although a different brand, was the same in every respect except for the manufacturer's nameplate on it. Isn't that a pretty significant factual finding?
What page is that specifically?
Yeah. You know.
Okay, and that's fine. If the court reads that, I'm not going to dispute that. Our contention is the evidence was that the loss prevention officer said that this scale functioned exactly the same and it had the different nameplate. If the court made that determination, what our contention is that is irrelevant because that is the replacement cost of the item. What came out in evidence is we asked the loss prevention officer, how old was the scale? How long had it been? What was the purchase price? None of that evidence came in. And so what we have is we have this scale that has an unknown value, unknown purchase, unknown amount of wear and tear. And we believe that Wegmans, as a store, has the right to replace any of its equipment.
There's a line of cases out there, and I think the best one that illustrates what I believe the legislature was trying to accomplish here is a case involving the catalytic converter.
Correct.
And as we know these days, the catalytic converter really has no value because they don't use catalytic converters anymore.
Correct.
And so in light of that, and we had a case specifically dealing with that, we focused on fair market replacement value because you can't really replace a catalytic converter. You can't go out and buy one on the open market. And so what the legislature was trying to do is note that in those kinds of cases, these items have some intrinsic value. And so therefore, we're going to provide a finder of fact a way to determine what the intrinsic value of this particular item is. And it appears from the trial, the disposition of the case, that the determination was made that the value of this particular item was indeed $1,000 or more. How do you deal with those lines of cases and the legislature's obvious intent to deal with unusual situations?
Judge, even in the catalytic converter case, the case actually ruled that fair market value was not established. And the reason why it was not established was there was still no evidence of how the age of the vehicles, the wear and tear. There was no other evidence. It was just that they had no value, and this is what it might have sold for, but it's illegal to sell catalytic converters in that case. And that is similar to our position here. There was no evidence of what the age of this item was. There was the only evidence was what it costs to replace, and that's cost. And the legislature certainly could have used the word cost in there because they said cost of the repair. Instead, they chose the word value. And value signifies the lifespan of the item. And so forth, when you have a scale, let's say the scale, and since we have no evidence, let's say the scale was 10 years old. What happens is in a civil case, you get what the value of the 10 years of depreciation, and that is the value. And then when you buy a new scale, you get additional 10 years or whatnot, how many years of the lifespan, and that's why that's the replacement cost. But the value you get is what you value was what that lifespan was left on the used item, and we have no idea of what that value is.
Well, Black's Law Dictionary defines value as the monetary worth or price of something, the amount of goods, services, or money that something commands in an exchange, which is different from the determination of what cost is, and that is the amount paid or charged for something. And so the legislature decided to use value as opposed to cost, and I think your argument would be stronger if the legislature had indeed used the term cost.
Your Honor, I think the Commonwealth's argument would be it would be stronger if they use cost because then they can simply put the price. The fact that they use value, and again, this is
consistent with the requirements of the legislature.
Well, the definition of fair market value is, I believe, is the price property will bring when offered for sale by a seller who desires but is not obliged to sell and brought by a buyer. That's Robinson versus Commonwealth. And it's throughout the court's analysis of what the value is. What the issue here is, the judge did is essentially, if the court looks at page 77 of the appendix, what the court talks about is, let's say it was a 2005 Camry, I believe is the example they said. They said, well, there's a huge market for the Camry. So therefore, when it's a Camry, then we can just use the appraisal value. But in this situation, what they did is they took Wegmans' word for it that Wegmans itself could not find a replacement from their supplier, so therefore they bought a new one. That doesn't alleviate, that's Wegmans' decision, which is a business's decision, but that doesn't alleviate the Commonwealth's burden, which has the burden in this case, to prove it beyond the reasonable doubt. How else could the Commonwealth have proved the case? The Commonwealth could have went from depreciation records. They could show this scale was this old. It depreciated. They could have got an appraiser. They could have had many different methods. What the Commonwealth chose to do instead is just say, we're not going to do any of that work. We're going to bring Wegmans, and Wegmans paid this price, so therefore that's the value. But then the judge himself said on page 77, if it was a car, then we can use a different method because there's an accounting for the cars, because they're available. In effect, they're saying that there's two different standards. If it's an item that, yeah, commonly known to the world what a value is, then you can use this method, which is the correct way to do it. But then if, let's say, the Commonwealth chooses not to do that and chooses to not fulfill their obligations, then therefore you can use the replacement cost. And certainly, they could have used the word cost.
Well, obviously, your client had no obligation to put on any evidence, but it did have the obligation to rebut evidence that was presented by the government.
And we did have the opportunity. We did not rebut that this is the amount of money that Wegmans paid to get a brand new scale. There was no...
So that is the only evidence before the court, then, right?
But it's the Commonwealth's requirement to prove the case, and they put on no evidence of the age, the wear and tear, anything of the old one. And so, therefore, is it our obligation to bring evidence of what a scale that we don't know how old is?
It's not an obligation to present any evidence at all in a criminal case. But if the government presents evidence that is detrimental to your position in the matter, you do have the right to cross-examine.
And Judge, our position, as if the court can see the objections, was that we had no problem that was the cost they paid, but that is not replacement value. And the Commonwealth was required to prove fair market replacement value. They did not, and therefore we did not need to rebut anything. That's the cost they paid for something that was similar, that was brand new, for something that we don't know the age, the wear and tear, or any other evidence that was presented. They simply said, you know, this is what Wegmans did, so therefore we're going to have Wegmans testify. We're not going to put on any other evidence based. And we don't believe that the statute requires, because the statute expressio unus exclusio uno would have said, then therefore they said the measure of the loss of the value using the statute would then be the fair market replacement cost and not value. Value is, I believe, a term that the court has to establish. And that's why it's I guess somewhat amorphous. Cost would be a receipt. Judge, at this time,
I'll reserve your time for rebuttal. Then, thank you.
Stressful day, Ms. Adelphi.
Yes, Your Honor. I'm very sorry for the inconvenience to the court. I already apologized to Mr. Kim. I know that. I caused an inconvenience.
No problem.
And I'm glad to be here.
We have plenty of other cases, and Mr. Kim was most gracious.
Well, so. He was also very gracious with me as well, and I appreciate his understanding. May it please the court, Catherine Adelphio on behalf of the Commonwealth. Mr. Kim is correct. This case essentially comes down to statutory interpretation. The Commonwealth's primary argument is that the General Assembly chooses its words with care in its statutes. And in 18.2-137, the General Assembly chose to use the word fair market replacement value rather than using the term fair market value. The General Assembly has used the term fair market value in other portions of the code, as noted on brief 2.2-419, 8.01-419.1, and 59.1-148. So clearly, it knows that is a term that's available to it. And the fact that the General Assembly did not use the term fair market value in Code Section 18.2-137 must be given some meaning. The definition of fair market replacement value is a matter of first impression for this court, and this court can turn to the case law in grand larceny cases in determining that there is a difference between fair market replacement value and fair market value. In cases like Baylor, which involved the catalytic converters that Judge Alston mentioned, Grimes, which was cited in brief, which involves the used copper pipes, this court discussed the differences between fair market value and fair market replacement value. In this case, the circuit court held that the damaged scale was virtually identical to the scale that was replaced by Wegmans. That was at appendix page 17 in its written opinion. And that finding was not plainly wrong. The Wegmans employee stated that it performed the same functions, it had the same design, it had the same layout, but the model that Wegmans had was no longer for sale, and they were forced to essentially buy the new model. The circuit court's conclusion that they are virtually identical was not plainly wrong based on the record before the circuit court. I would just note to the court that if this court is concerned about the depreciation of items and whether the item had depreciated, that this scale is not of the same nature as other items, technical items that The Virginia appellate courts have previously found to depreciate easily. In Neblett, which is an unpublished case of this court, the court discussed the fact that cell phones depreciate quickly, that in Dunn involving typewriters, the court found that a typewriter is something that depreciates. I'd suggest to the court...
Is that because obsolescence is an issue with the scale?
That's correct, Your Honor. That's where I'm going with this. The scale either works or it doesn't. The testimony in this case was that the scale was working prior to the defendant pushing it down on the ground and destroying it.
So there's a difference, in your view, between determining value in a grand larceny case and value for the purposes of this statute.
Absolutely, Your Honor. And I think that the Commonwealth below actually admitted that if it had to prove fair market value, it had not met its burden. But because Code Section 18.2-137 addresses fair market replacement value, they were entitled to prove the value to satisfy the statute by showing the fair market replacement value.
So you see a real significance in the word replacement?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
And I think I would just briefly note, I think that the General Assembly in the destroyed item statute also talks about destruction to memorials or monuments. And I think that how the damage is calculated in those cases and the culpability that a defendant how his culpability is determined. And when you're thinking about a monument as opposed to a scale, but this code section treats them the same way, the goal is to calculate how the Commonwealth can be made whole again. You wouldn't replace, say, a roadside marker denoting the boundary of a locality with an old used marker. You would, if there was an accident on the road and you hit the road marker saying you're now entering the city of Fredericksburg, you wouldn't replace that marker with something of equal value. You would just replace it with something new, and I think that is a similar situation to here. The General Assembly has decided that we want to make victims whole in a way that they are that they can replace things that are totally destroyed.
So you would argue that cost doesn't necessarily should not necessarily be defined the way value is defined. That they're two separate and distinct inquiries.
Well, I think that the cost of I'm not sure.
They can intersect, but don't necessarily.
I don't really understand the distinction. I think that fair market replacement value and fair market value are two different things. Perhaps I should understand the distinction, but I don't. I think that they're just two different things, and we want to bring the victim to a good place again, not to perhaps the same old place.
So, for instance, in a department store, if someone were to steal a coat rack and the company had 12 other coat racks in storage, it's not necessarily the case that they would be entitled to the fair market value of getting the new fangled coat hangers that exist in the marketplace, that they already have the coat hangers that they can use. They can bring those back, and we can use the cost of those coat hangers because they actually have them. But in this case, as I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, there was no other scale to replace this scale.
That's correct, Your Honor. So the fair market replacement value would be the value of those existing other similar items. Here, where there is no similar items that are existing, he gets to the Commonwealth can prove its evidence by showing that what they will replace it by.
As opposed to fair market value, if you remove replacement from the equation, which is essentially the value of the item that was destroyed or taken on the open market.
Correct, Your Honor. And I would also just point to the fact that I think that the Circuit Court was entitled to use its common sense in determining that if these scales cost $4,000, something wouldn't depreciate by 75% to take it below the $1,000 threshold. So say the older scale also cost $4,000. If those were a commensurate price, the court can could have determined that these scales are of such a nature that they're going to cost thousands of dollars, and no matter how old it wasn't going to depreciate by 75%.
Is that where the court's factual finding comes into play with the same in every respect except for the manufacturer's nameplate on it?
Perhaps that was more a digression on my part. I think that when the court found that it was virtually identical, I think that essentially he was finding that this was the same item, so that this was in every respect, Your Honor, let me back up. Yes, this court can determine that the $4,000 determination on the part of the court reflected the fair market replacement value.
Suppose you had a situation where a person had a 1953 Cadillac, and the individual that was charged with the crime stole the Cadillac. And obviously it's real hard to replace a 1953 Cadillac. There are not that many out there, I would assume. How would a court determine whether or not the threshold for larceny has been met in a case such as that?
Well, in that case, would be the fair market. It would be different if it was destruction versus theft.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was
destruction,
So if it destroyed it, I think that you could then find. I think that you could say this is. You wouldn't be going to the 2018 Cadillac. That
right.
wouldn't be a commensurate comparison because those a 2018 Cadillac is not the same as a 1950 Cadillac. But here we have evidence before the circuit court that in fact these two scales were exactly virtually identical, which is what the
and in the context of that case, the way that the government would prove the destruction element in that case is it would bring in an expert witness who would testify that parts to replace this items that were destroyed on the Cadillac would cost $400 because there's only so many of them out there, that the tires that go with this car, they're unavailable now, so we'd have to get something that's similar to that, and those tires are $300 a piece. In other words, you would go through things to prove by other means the destruction value to meet the burden of proof there, but your suggestion here is that the way the government can prove the destruction value is through presenting evidence of what replacement value would be.
That's correct, Your Honor. Well, and I would say that with the car, if you're only replacing some items, then you can use the cost of repair, the fair market cost of repair. And I think that if you were trying to find the fair market replacement value of the 1950 Cadillac, then you could rely on, I don't know if they have a Kelley Blue Book going that far back, but you could rely on other, this is
so the government
an expert.
So the government in Neescott's case essentially has alternative means for proving its case.
That's correct, Your Honor. And unless the court has any further questions, I'd ask the court to affirm the circuit court's finding with respect to the sufficiency of the evidence. Okay, thank you.
Your Honors,
touching on some of the things that the Attorney General's office has argued, the Cadillac converter case is Baylor versus Commonwealth, and in the case, the court says in Baylor, the Commonwealth solely relied on the evidence of replacements cost of the converters. The court ultimately held that the Commonwealth had not met the burden because the record was devoid of any evidence of the original cost of the converters or the fair market price at the time of the larceny.
That's a larceny case, right?
Yes, Judge.
So let me interrupt you for just a second, if I might, and ask you, your argument focused on really the difference between cost and value.
Correct.
What's the significance of the insertion of the word replacement in this particular statute?
And I believe it's because it's in a disjunctive. It talks about whether it's destruction of property, whether you replace the item, and in this case it had to be replaced because it couldn't be repaired, or whether you repaired it. And so that's why in the...
So you're looking at it as more of a verb than an adjective.
Correct. So the replacement says, if you choose to go the replacement route, this is how you do it. If you choose to go the repair route, this is the price. And I that's why I also argue the rule of lenity. I believe it can be read both ways. And if it can be read both ways, statutes are construed against the Commonwealth, and therefore it has to be read in my client's favor. But I also point out, finally, in the Little case, which is also a court of appeals case, it talks about, to be clear, we expressly do not hold that the replacement cost may never be used in assisting establishing stolen values. And again, this is stolen because this is the first impression. Stolen items value. but it's axiomatic that some items appreciate in value with the passage of time, just as other items depreciate. Moreover, it is certainly conceivable that stolen part may be of such a character of recent manufacture that replacement value accurately reflects actual or fair market value. So the court makes a distinction. And so when the Attorney General's office say, like the court says they didn't depreciate 75%, 75% in what period of time? Those, we don't know if the scales are 20 years old, 30 years old. We don't know if they're 5 years old. We don't know if it's 2 years old. And the evidence presented was that the reason why they had to get to the meddler was the Bezerba model was no longer made. So I don't think the court could just assume that the judge thought, well, it's within a period of time, it must not have depreciated that amount. That evidence is void, and it's the Commonwealth's burden beyond a reasonable doubt to prove this. And the fact that even in a little case, they talk about how cost and value is different, it may be, but we don't know that. We don't know because the Commonwealth chose not to put any evidence of how old, what the purchase price was. Because I believe the AG also said, we don't know how, we could assume maybe that the price was $4,000 when it was bought. Again, that's an assumption that the court is not allowed to make. It's the Commonwealth's burden. We ask that this case get remanded, that the value be struck, and that it be remanded for sentencing on a misdemeanor. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll come down and greet counsel.